This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I'm opening our programme today with a song which hit me with full force when I first heard it the other day. It was a song written just a few weeks ago by Nigel Cameron and Julie Cameron Hall. Their song is their way of crying out for justice and mercy for the people of Afghanistan. It cries out for women being kept silent, for the lost and the taken, for the soldiers and scholars who've laid down their lives. As we listen to it, let's remember all those throughout the world who at this very moment find themselves in exile, cut off from their families, many of them in danger. Let's also pray for those who've actually chosen to stay and be the change their country needs. And let us consider how we might serve them here as they rebuild their lives. Here is the song, Who Will Cry Out?
Who will cry? In Afghanistan, whose voices are gone, whose faces are hidden, and fear for the future of their land. There was joy in the river flowing.
Heard that song the other day, the words of the prophet Micah came to mind, where he wrote, "And what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" Three rules which surely should define people of all faiths if they truly want to be servants of God and please Him. Did you know that in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, we're also told things which God hates? Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that thinks up wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness, and a person who stirs up trouble in the community. I've set out both readings, this one from Proverbs and the one from Micah, into this next song, which is called, What Does the Lord Require of You?
What does God see on earth? What can He hear? Innocent blood shed, hearts filled with fear. Wickedness, vengefulness, kingdoms at war. What does He say? He created us for that we should act justly, we should love mercy, we should walk humbly with God, we should act justly.
not weep for in this world of woe. Falsehoods and scheming, spirits brought low. Proud hearts and haughtiness, costly attire. What does he really seek? What does he require? That we should act justly, we should love mercy, we should walk humbly with God. We should act justly, we should love mercy, we should walk humbly with God. We should act justly, we should love mercy, we should walk humbly with God. Today we look at what it means to be a servant of God. Let's listen to our reading today and see what it has to say. I'm reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, reading from verse 30 to 37. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they'd argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last, and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Let's listen to the Maranatha singers with "Make Me a Servant."
Make me a servant.
The disciples were ashamed when Jesus asked them what they were talking about later on, for he had heard them arguing on the journey, wanting to know what they would get out of being followers of the Messiah and who would be greatest in the kingdom that was coming. Jesus has to confront this kind of mentality, which was proud and self-seeking, for it had no place in the kingdom of God. He needed to teach them that true discipleship was all about being a servant, not lording it over others and establishing important positions. They needed to learn a lesson about faithfulness, loyalty, and steadfastness. It is said that Constantine, when he was chosen to be emperor, found a number of Christians in high office whose faith was dubious. He had reason to believe some were unreliable and unworthy. So he sent out an order that they all had to renounce either their faith or their service to him. Many did give up their positions and left their jobs, but saved their consciences. Some gritted their teeth, renounced their faith, and kept tight hold of their positions. Constantine then restored the faithful believers to office and demanded the resignation of those who had proved unfaithful, saying, if they could not be faithful to Christ, they could not be faithful to him. If we consider ourselves servants of God, we need to ask ourselves, are we loyal? Are we reliable and trustworthy? Do we wait upon God like true servants should? And are we tuned in to God's will for his world? You know, when I think of servants, I think of Downton Abbey, how the staff downstairs each day just go about their ordinary duties. But when the master or mistress ring the bell, they respond immediately. They listen carefully to the instructions and they carry them out. Our next song says something similar. It says, here I am, what is it you want of me? I'm yours. It's called Here I Am, Lord, sung by John Michael Talbot.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Thank you.
In the book The Kite Runner, written by Khaled Hosseini, there's a lovely little servant boy who faithfully lays his life on the line three times for the young master he serves, who also happens to be his best friend. Even though his young master rejects him and makes trouble for him, he continues to love him and protect him. In a similar way, Jesus is telling his disciples something very important about himself, rather like a breaking news item. Something is about to happen to him, something big. Regardless of rejection and opposition, he is about to lay his life down freely for those he loves, in order to bring life and to break the curse of sin and death. Break the curse which humans brought upon themselves when they disobeyed God and fell from grace. And the disciples just don't get it. They don't understand. It wasn't till much later, after Jesus' death and resurrection, that they fully realized what he was talking about. Jesus had told them, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. And Jesus was the supreme example of servitude. Here's a song based upon the prayer of St. Ignatius Loyola, which says, teach me to serve thee.
Teach me to serve thee as thou deservest, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wound, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and ask for no reward, save that of knowing that I do. Teach me to serve thee as thou deservest, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wound, to toil and not to seek for rest.
A servant isn't about who we are and what our gifts are. It's all about who the master is and what his will is and how his requirements can best be served. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he sets out clearly just how humbly Jesus accepted his role as a servant in what may even have been an early hymn. And he says, his state was divine, yet he did not cling to his equality with God, but emptied himself to assume the condition of a slave and become as we are. Jesus seems to have had that wonderful blend of meekness and majesty, and I'm sure his words were not only for his disciples or even future leaders, but for us all, that we might all serve one another as he did. Let's listen to Graham Kendrick and his wonderful song, Meekness and Majesty.
Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, imperfect harmony, man is God. Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility, and washes our feet.
Bow down and worship.
There are those in our world who are out to destroy lives and do great harm. But thankfully, there are also those who are truly trying to live in the will of God and be his agents in the world. This morning, let us remember before God all who serve as doctors, nurses, and carers, and for all those in emergency services, for they are all agents of his healing touch. In desperate times, we pray, Lord, keep them strong yet loving, and as each day comes to a close, be with them in their weariness and in their tears, and grant them peace and comfort when it's time for them to rest. We pray also for all people with love and compassion in their hearts, whose love is shown in action. These are the ones over whom God our Father sings his songs of pleasure, for they've learned to embrace the child within themselves. They've learned to be still and listen to their master's call, even anticipating his commands before they're even spoken, because they know him so well. So to finish, we're going to listen to these sentiments in a song called The Father's Song, written and sung by Matt Redman. This is Sheila Hamill. Thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts with you today. And I'd like to thank Andrew Ridgwick, not only for his technical expertise in bringing you this programme, but also for providing much of the background music to many of my songs that you hear from time to time in this programme. Andrew, say bye.
Bye, everyone.
I do hope you'll join us both next week. Bye for now.
I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of Love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me, the Father's song. I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. Thank you, Lord. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of Love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me, the Father's song. Let us hear your song over us tonight, O God. Song of your grace, the song of your love. Hear, sing it over us with joy. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me, the Father's song. Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity.